Well, indeed, it's almost like the electric mind orchestra. That's where we're learning about quantum communications with David Sirita. His new DVD is out. You'll find that at our website, coasttocoastam.com. While you're there, take a look at those news stories. One about the UFO seen in Britain, and then also the report from a guy in Florida about alien beings of various types surrounding his home recently. And if you missed the first hour and you have Streamlink, you ought to go back and listen to that, because Nick Pope, who's featured in that article about the UFO in the UK, he gets into specifics about the investigation that was worth hearing about. And then also he helped me in the conversation with Michael Rowley from Florida, who's had what he describes as dragon beings and others surrounding his home in rural Florida. And we will get an update on both of those stories, I'm sure, in the days ahead. But if you've got Streamlink, go back and catch it. If you don't, it's worth investigating and in investing in. In fact, coming up, I believe, on the Tuesday is it Tuesday the 17th, Tuesday the 18th, I think. I'll be doing the chat in for George for you Streamlink members, and it'll be fun. I love doing those monthly chats when I get a chance, and my next chance comes up on that Tuesday of this month. So investigate it, take a look, and if you can't afford it, I think you'll see it pays dividends to be a member of Streamlink. You can go back and listen to this great conversation and share it with others as we tell you just how much you can expand your mind, or rather, how expansive your mind is already, that you can just catch up to next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So I was thinking about it, David Sirita. You know, there's that old expression about how an anthropologist can't help but to influence the culture that the anthropologist is studying simply by their presence, that even if it's a subtle change, that the minute the anthropologist shows up to observe, the culture has already changed.
Well, that's great.
And that's sort of like what we're talking about here with the effect of the brain or of consciousness on whatever work that physicists were doing, that they noticed that even just observing it, even just their consciousness being conscious of what was happening was changing what was happening.
Yeah, now you look at, you know, the search for the God particle at the Large Hadron Collider and all the accidents that are happening there and the problems. And you see, they're looking for, they're calling it a God particle because they want it again to behave like a machine, a mechanistic operation that is responsible for the birth of all matter. But yet you go back to Max Planck, and he said mind is responsible for the birth of all matter. So you wonder, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, in the search for the God particle, the Large Hadron Collider, if it was fully operational, they're going to be producing energies of 14 trillion electron volts, which is a level of energy that doesn't exist anywhere in nature today. Not since the time of the early creation of the universe have we seen in any location or point in the universe. Maybe, you know, when you get into black holes and singularities, you might see energy levels that high, but nowhere else. And so when you look at when there's that much energy presence and then there's mind presence, you look at, you know, what is going to happen? You know, what's going to happen? And is mind responsible for, they just can't seem to get this thing to work.
Well, it would make sense if you think about, you know, all of that energy. But if you thought of it as all of that energy going, say, down the sideline of a football field, right? Mm-hmm. And human consciousness, if human consciousness present at that amount of energy was able to nudge that energy just even a fraction of a degree, it's not going to be able to go straight up the sideline. So it's already
that's a brilliant observation you just made. The more powerful it gets, even the subtlest component of influence from mind can throw the whole thing off, because you're talking about levels of energy that are actually very dangerous.
Right.
In my opinion. But we look at, you know, how powerful is consciousness? And from the experimental data, you know, from many different sources, it is so staggering to me. I mean, I was sitting there you know, when I started this journey with quantum communication, and I didn't know that I'd be staring down the eyes of a wizard like William Tiller, and he was going to, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, Dr. Tiller, I said, you know, we have clear evidence from NASA that coming in 2010, 2012, the sun may produce the largest solar flares we've ever seen and produce potentially trillions of dollars of damage. And this is on NASA's website. It's well known. And I've been having dialogues with NASA scientist David Hathaway from the NASA Solar Observatory about what is happening with the sun and the planet right now. And there are major things going on with the sun. And it's very clear, first of all, that he admitted to me the Earth's magnetic field is collapsing right now, and it's collapsing towards zero, but it's going to take 2,000 years to collapse. Now, that may not alarm very many people, but when the Earth's magnetic field is collapsing, its defense mechanism against solar flares is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Now, if it reaches zero, that would be devastating, and 2,000 years is not really that far away. But on the other hand, according to David Hathaway at NASA, the sun is there's only two choices it can make right now. It has been the quietest they've seen in over 100 years for certain, and possibly, in fact, it was really amazing when you see NASA's predictions on the web that we think that, you know, the end of this super, you know, no sunspot activity, virtually no, I mean tiny little sunspot activity, they thought it was going to be over in June. And that in early July, when we saw that glimmer of a mini solar flare, that it was the beginning of the cycle starting again, the next great cycle. And it didn't. It went back to sleep. So David Hathaway is saying that the sun, and I have these emails from him, that the sun can only do two things right now. It can either just stay super cold and even miss possibly the next great solar cycle and produce massive solar flares. If it does that, we could see already we could see colder winters, which might be a good thing for the polar bears, but we also may see the greatest explosive behavior in the sun in, you know, coming into 2010 and 2012. Well,
which would be bad news for the polar bears.
Would be bad news for the polar bears and for us. Now, so I asked Dr. Tiller, you know, if we had millions of minds assembled on your show, the greatest source on the planet is Coast to Coast AM, to do this, focusing on the sun in 2010, which I would like to do coming into that time.
I love that.
And we focus on the sun. And before I get further into this, just think of the Incas, the Mayas, the Greeks, the Egyptians. You know, they all had personalities to represent the sun god. You know, even the Greeks, the Greco-Romans had Apollo. And so the sun was a conscious being to them. And even, for example, even Christianity, Jesus' birth is celebrated on December 25th, which is the beginning of the new solar year. You know, it's not a coincidence. So we look at all of that emphasis on the sun being possibly worshipped as a being, but not necessarily worshipped as the supreme being of the universe, but as an intelligent being. And the question is why? Why did the Incas and the Mayans worship the sun? Did they know that by contacting it, they could avert disaster? And this is where I set out a hypothesis for 2010, 2012. So I'm asking Dr. Tiller, the wizard, you know, do we have the power to avert this disaster that NASA is saying could possibly happen? And he looks at me and he looks at me like, that's child's play compared to what he has calculated to the power of consciousness. He's not even interested in that because what the mind can actually do collectively is even way beyond that. So,
well, that would seem like almost more than many people could even wrap their minds around now, the idea of being able to collectively influence and diminish solar flares from the sun. So if that is child's play, then help us all understand what we are truly capable of.
Okay, so there's three levels of this. At the biological level, Bruce Lipton says, our minds are so powerful that we can rewrite our DNA and send out a new, what I call personal energy signature, so that we can attract different things in our life. So that's the first level of consciousness, if you can realize that. The second level is, how fast does this conscious force transmit? So when we look at, you know, the first idea, I had this argument with my wife, Crystal, is thought instant? And I thought, it can't be truly instant, but the highest level of mind is truly instant, and that's the God mind, if you want to call it that. And so we got into this fight about it till 4 a.m. in the morning. And finally, you know, the answer came to me, you know, from Dr. Tiller's data, that consciousness, because it can permeate lead, rock, you know, mountains, walls, caverns with no signal quality loss, and radio waves could not go through that, even gamma radiation could not go through the mountain of lead or through, you know, even mountains of rock. So that would mean consciousness is even higher in frequency than that. And Dr. Tiller puts it at, and again, and I like to say this with respect to him, he's not just making up a theory. Theoretical physics is founded after observing, you know, countless pages of solid data. So he doesn't just come out of the, you know, thin air and say, I'm going to come up with a theory. So what he says is the very primitive base of the human organism at the belly center, or the, you know, the belly center chakra. Firstly, they measure in Qigong masters voltage on the walls from the photoelectric effect, the transference of human bioelectricity into electromagnetism, they measured up to 250-volt spikes on the walls through the transference of that energy on copper-plated walls. Unbelievable. Very short bursts of energy, however. Then, beyond that, the more subtle energy component at this level travels at the speed of light squared, which is the speed of light times itself. So I calculated this. I calculated, you know, what is the speed of light squared? You can just get your calculator and put your square marker. It's about 34.7 billion miles per second. And because the sun is 93 million miles from Earth, roughly, we come to the next level of understanding what that actually means. Claude Swanson talks about an experiment that was done in Russia with acupuncture needles in a person's body connected to electrodes. And inadvertently, the subject produces a huge voltage spike for a very short duration, and he measures it against the exact time in real time that the sun emitted an X-class solar flare. And normally it takes 8.3 minutes for sunlight at the speed of light to get from the sun to the Earth, but the human body registers what appeared to be instantly. But on Tiller's model, the distance between here and the sun would yield 1/373 of a second. That's how fast it is from here to the sun. Hmm. And that's primitive. That's our most primitive chakra base, if you consider the seven chakras in the body.
Well, then what can we do with that?
Here's where it gets more amazing. When you get to the heart chakra, we're transmitting consciousness at the speed of light cubed, which is 64.64 quadrillion miles per second, which means you can send a message or receive a message from the Pleiades star system 440 light years from here in a quarter of a second. And when you get to the crown chakra, you can transmit and receive messages in a quarter of a second from here to Andromeda, the Andromeda galaxy, 2.2 million light years from here. So this is, we're still not at the level of the power of consciousness yet, but what we're at the level of understanding how we can receive cosmic messages from gods, from beings, from planets, from extraterrestrials even, through consciousness. And this helps validate a lot of the contactee experiences that people claim they're having with the Pleiades or with these, you know, the star system of Sirius and so forth, that we're not limited to the speed of light. And so that sets forth the second level of realization. But here's the one that blows my mind the most. I mean, utterly blows my mind. I was just sitting there just awestruck when Dr. Tiller wasn't even interested in the fact that we could, with the collective power of consciousness, affect the sun. That biologically it was clearly measured that our bodies have instantaneous communication with the sun. Our bodies are made of mostly hydrogen, oxygen, and minerals. Our sun and many other stars out there are made of mostly hydrogen, oxygen, and trace minerals. We're made of the same stuff. And we have this ability to circumvent the speed of light limit and be in communication with the sun instantly. So I was just excited about the idea of doing that. And he said, now, when you understand, this is very simple. Einstein won the Nobel Prize for explaining the photoelectric effect, which is the conversion of different frequencies of light back into mass. For example, a blue photon or particle of light will transfer more energy than a red photon. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So blue is more powerful than red. And this goes back to Max Planck's Nobel Prize in physics. He actually was the first one to explain these different frequencies and how higher frequencies have higher energies. Now, if consciousness is beyond the gamma ray spectrum in frequency, and a 10-second gamma ray burst will produce more energy than our sun will in its possibly 10 billion year lifetime, and consciousness is higher frequency than that, then how powerful is it?
Right.
And William Tiller looks at me and says, we're nowhere near the grand unification theory in physics without including this consciousness, because the conscious part of the universe is so powerful, it's gods and goddesses. It has the power to create stars and galaxies, he told me. I mean, that's just unimaginable. That this force is not included yet. It started with all the great Nobel Prize winners, and it is not accepted as a force.
You know, I have a weird reaction to that, and that is when I hear that, I wonder how anybody could. And this is I don't mean to pick a fight out of this, but I wonder how anybody could be an atheist. I wonder how anybody could just look at our planet and say it all ends here. It's all there's nothing more than what we see and or experience. We come into this world, we live, we're good to each other, whatever, and then we die, and then that's it. I think how could anybody not see into at least a level of what we would call the divine if we're thinking that there's that much power out there in the universe?
Exactly. And I mean, I think really, mathematically, Dr. Tiller and even inadvertently Planck and Einstein have proven the existence of what Gary Schwartz calls the guiding organizing design or God force, the intelligent universe. Because it's not just a force that is mechanistic, it responds to creativity. You know, when you think of, you know, where does creativity come from? And then, you know, when I realized, okay, the mind is that powerful. If human brain can interface with this consciousness. And the question is, why doesn't it? And Tiller finds there is a coupling link, something that couples at the sub-Planck length the human brain mind to this big mind. And this coupling link it seems to be more prevalent in certain human beings than others. And so that's where we'll go next.
Yeah, coupling link. And then I want to ask you, too, then, about what about people who have compromised brains, where either through an accident or through genetics in some way that they have a more constrained or slightly less predictable brain pattern? Any thoughts from Dr. Tiller about their capabilities when it comes to tracking with this cosmic consciousness, which you've heard David Sirita say should be listed as one of the forces, should be the fifth force in the universe. The book is the DVD is called Quantum Communication. You could do this. You can link up to him through coasttocoastam.com, and you can start to practice quantum communication. We'll tell you more about that and the coupling device. Where do you buy one, if you will? Next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. So heading into another half hour with David Sirita, we'll talk about the coupling device. Some people have it, some people don't. How can we get one that would link us up to this quantum communication? And we'll talk about that this next half hour before we get to your calls at the top of the hour coming up on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So the DVD is Quantum Communication. Is that where we can find this coupling device?
Well, I think, you know, we get closer to the secret of where it really is, you know, once you take that journey. But one of the things, you know, where is the coupling device? The sun produces more green light in a prism if you were to look at a rainbow and you measured the quantity or amplitude of all the different colors in the rainbow. There's more green light than any other color, which is symbolic of the human heart chakra. And the heart, we know, produces at least 60 times more energy and electromagnetism than the brain. And the subtle energy component, which is beyond the magnetoelectric and beyond even that, coming from the heart, is immensely, immensely powerful. In fact, an experiment that I was involved with personally in Russia is we took the NASA sound of the sun as recorded in deep space, and we played it in front of water and did the Masaru Emoto effect and looked at the unbelievably perfectly beautiful crystalline structures that that sound produced. But another experiment the researchers did is they beamed the sound at a human being and measured the aura of that individual. And they found the sound of the sun made the heart chakra get huge. They said it was like all the other chakras shut down and the heart just exploded with green light. So
well, that's very cool.
What that tells us is the sun, this extra solar, master solar system body, is symbiotically in perfect synchronicity and union with the human heart. And we look at, again, you know, the sun is very, very cold right now. We have heart disease, the number one killer in the world. And even countries like India are having devastating amounts of problems with death, with heart disease. And you would think India, you know, they're all chanting and doing spirituality. But actually, they're all stressed out about money now, just like we are. And so this whole money thing is killing us. And we're not honoring our heart chakra enough, which is where all this power is. So I suspect that if just the sound of the sun can stimulate the heart, and I actually have medical doctors testing the sound of the sun on their patients right now at major universities, then I suspect the coupling link is probably somewhere deep in the heart. And that's where all of the power is. And when you go back to that realization and you say, you know, I want to become successful, I want to have my soulmate, we have to get in touch with the sincerity of what we truly love and what resonates in the heart chakra more than anything. Because these other things, they don't really have that much power. And on a personal level, if we can transform ourselves at the core, what all the yogis in India say, I mean, this is another where we have some great examples of yogis who can materialize, like the Sai Baba can materialize gold right in front of people. There are examples of yogis levitating and Christian saints levitating and Hebrew saints, you know, all of these great miracles. Well, what they all tell you is that there's no way to get to God consciousness by circumventing the heart. You have to almost purge and cry your eyes out and get in touch with your magical child before you're going to get to this bliss consciousness. And then once you've been in the bliss consciousness, you know, and I've been doing this meditation practice every day for 30 years and had miraculous, unbelievable things happen. Once you get to the bliss consciousness, then it's like, okay, once you're blissed out all the time, what you really want to do is create a dialogue with the intelligence of the universe so that we can go beyond where no one has ever gone before.
Okay, but I know this is, I'll sound like I'm being perhaps too mechanistic, as you would say, but back to the coupling device, this idea that Dr. Tiller was talking about, again, we're talking with David Sarita, the new DVD is Quantum Communication. It would seem that some people on Earth have would be fair to say a damaged receptor where they are having a harder time believing even the information that they're hearing now, that they filter out the things which other people would let flow in. And that there are other people out there that would say that they can't, for example, they just can't pray. They can't meditate. They've tried. They want to. They just can't. It doesn't come out of them. They don't know what to do about that, but they just can't. So are there some people that have a physical inhibition to participate in the psychic power of quantum communication?
Well, yeah, that's the ultimate question, because that's what it all comes down to in the end is, you know, it's great that this has been discovered. How, you know, can can we go from the most disabled person in this area to become the most abled? And that is, in some cases, a life work. I mean, you have people, you know, I have Colette Baron Reed, who is, you know, practically born with amazing psychic abilities and the ability to communicate. And then Claude Swanson said they've filmed, you know, children in China who can cause a bag of rice to float right through a solid wall and do it over and over and over again. And a girl can cause beans in a glass jar wrapped in a Faraday cage of lead, and she'll tell the beans to jump out of the jar, which is sealed, and then they open up the cage and the beans are out and the glass isn't broken. So you have people who have amazing powers like that and spoon bending, you know, but then you get into another level of consciousness, which is the power to have a revolution in an idea. When Tesla and Lodge and Stone invented radio and Marconi was part of it, that one idea from one dialogue with the creative force in the universe changed everybody's lives. And when Vladimir Zorikin and Farnsworth invented television, now just that one thing changes everything, the Internet. So what that means is the power of consciousness is not always about floating a bag of rice through walls. Sometimes it's about creativity so profound. And get ready for this. The answer to how I could never solve this problem, my friend Boyd Bushman, who works at Lockheed Martin for 20 years, invented the Stinger missile, admits everything about Roswell to me, tells me that after they got the Roswell craft, and this is a 20-year scientist at Lockheed Martin, he says, we couldn't find a machine. All we found is the walls of the craft and the aliens. There was no machine, no light bulb, nothing. And so finally, you know, thanks to the work of all of these great scientists like Dr. Tiller and, you know, Bruce Lipton and all of them, you see this, you see if the mind consciousness is more powerful than gamma rays, and the conversion from that electric kind of state to mass, energy, and motion, you could power spaceships at multiples of the speed of light with this mind if you had the coupling link. And that the answer to the Roswell ship, according to Boyd Bushman, why there's no machine in it, because they knew the secret. They knew how to access a force that is beyond all the other four forces that we know. It's the master force. It tells matter what to do. It can tell a spaceship to go 10 trillion times the speed of light if it wants to. And I know in our current state of reality, that sounds hard to believe, but that's because the evidence got buried, you know. And so
I want to go back to that. So the evidence got buried from Roswell, you're saying, that this is that your friend knows for a fact that all they found at the Roswell crash were beings and then the exterior of the craft, and that they had this information and they buried it.
What Boyd Bushman, who worked for Texas Instruments, the Shah of Iran, he worked for General Dynamics, built the Stinger missile. He has missiles today that can pull 800 Gs with reverse engineered technology. 20 years at Lockheed Martin. You can search his name on the patent office. He's not like Bob Lazar, and you see all these Lockheed Martin patents come up. He said to me on camera, and I'm in regular contact with Boyd today, that when a friend of his is the Navy doctor who treated the pilot who shot down the Roswell flying saucer with a super weapon, which I identified as the Tesla Death Ray, which was in development at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in 1943. So in 1947, it's our most classified weapon. When the pilot landed his plane, he proceeds to approach the debris field, one of the debris fields, and they find three dead aliens, and one was running around at large. So I always make the joke that that was Bob Lazar, who shapeshifted. But anyway, there was no machine. There was no energy source. They couldn't find anything but the actual craft itself and the fabric and the materials. There was no zero-point energy machine. There was nothing. And so they couldn't figure it out. But when you understand, if there is such a thing as Dr. Tiller's coupling link, and if it's not just the heart chakra, but if there's actually something that some human beings have more of in them than others, and I've got some new ideas on this thanks to some help out there, that this may actually be a rare mineral compound that exists, super ionic, super high spin state minerals that some human beings have more in them than others.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying before, that some people may have either a damaged receptor or transmitter that they cannot – they physically end up not being able to participate in the same way that others could.
Well, we all have a heart. We all – even if – because you mentioned if someone had, you know, some kind of impairment to the brain, even on the most subtle level of our consciousness, we know – that ultimately, when we really love somebody and we pray for them in mass, you can cause a miraculous healing. I mean, the Catholic Church has documented hundreds to thousands of healings throughout the ages that no medical doctor can explain, and many other religions have done the same thing. So even, I believe, if a person's brain is impaired, they do need to believe. There does need to be – belief is very powerful, and here's why. Remember Dr. Tiller's experiment. It takes 30 days for a perfect human intention with the will to raise the pH or lower the pH value of water, which is a physical attribute of water. This is beyond mental telepathy. This is changing the physical characteristics of something at a distance, psychokinesis. And it does it every single time. But it takes 30 days of consistent, repetitive, perfect thought and intention. Then that tells us that if anything we're passionate about, think of anything in your life you ever wanted, including a healing, and you really, really wanted it with all of your heart, but you wanted it consistently for more than 30 days, maybe years. Right. Did it happen? And I think in a lot of cases, it did, if you go in your life and you look.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I think that's very interesting, and I know I sound like I'm fixating on the physical side of things, but I'm always curious about that interplay, especially because I speak with so many people who say they just can't, and so I've been trying to understand, for example, Matthew Alper's work about the God part of the brain, whether that when they have these experiments, which can induce a godlike experience, a euphoric divine experience. And I've always been curious about that and how that fits into science, perhaps even science like this.
Oh, I think that's easy. I mean, when you go into, you know, harmonic states of perfect resonance in your being from meditation or from being an artist or a ballet dancer or an architect or anything, these states of ecstasy can overtake you. What the Hindus call samadhi, and the Buddhists call jhana, and the Christians are heaven states, et cetera, with all of our religions. You don't have to be a meditating person to have these experiences. There are many accounts of artists and poets and writers and deep, deep thinkers who went into these in tremendous states of ecstasy. The ecstasy, and I've experienced this many times in meditation, for me, meditation conquered serious depression as a teenager. I was seriously depressed as a teenager for, you know, reasons about my family and losing my mother as a parent at a very young age. I couldn't – my heart was so devastated, I just couldn't cure myself. But now once you get to the state of being able to attain bliss states and you've had those bliss states repetitively, you want more of this consciousness. You want to know where it goes next. Because, you know, just floating around and doing yoga and being high, I mean, there's a lot more to life than that.
Sure. Well, and I'm so sorry about your previous experience, and that's helpful for other people out there who are also looking for alternative treatments to depression. Now, what if you could give us a quick, you know, I don't know, a quick thumbnail before we get into phone calls of the things that if we were able to get our mind around quantum communication, what you think any of us could do other than manifest success or finding a love partner, what do you think are some of the most extraordinary possibilities that we would all be able to achieve individually or collectively in mass mind experiments?
Well, the first thing I think that everybody can achieve is the realization that whatever we, through the mass media and through our personal lives, we put our focus on, it's going to grow. Be it, the flu, or be it, George Norrie's been taking on the Federal Reserve, which I think is amazing. I really honor him for doing that. See, the more, when you get people to focus on something like that, then it amplifies and then it becomes something that everybody gets to participate. And even if you're not physically participating, you're not appearing on CNN or Fox News or Coast to Coast AM, your thoughts are contributing to that reality. And the first thing we can do is awaken our intelligence enough to solve this economic crisis. And then the next level that we can do, if we go to our architects, our astronomers, our physicists, our doctors, our poets, our writers, our inventors, we can attain zero-point energy and have infinite energy that doesn't pollute the planet. And, you know, see, we don't think things like that are miracles because they're ideas, but actually they are. They're the greatest miracles because one of those things will change life for everybody on the world.
Right.
And that's the first thing we can attain that's very human. And then getting into, ultimately, I believe, all civilizations, we only have a certain amount of time on our planets before they expire from mass-level extinction events. So we have to attain space technology. Otherwise, ultimately, like Michio Kaku says, we remain type zero civilizations or class zero civilizations. So we have to do this. And we have, I believe, there are many people that have already done it, and that stuff gets suppressed. So we're probably not going to survive as a species without a massive revolution in some very critical areas of human existence, and it's consciousness that can do that.
I love that. So, and then those are the first two.
Those are the first two.
Yeah, a third one?
Depression is an epidemic right now, and I think it's a massive epidemic in children because, for example, I grew up in the 60s. I'm 48 years old this month, and, you know, my mom didn't have to work. Women didn't have to work. It was one person in the family who worked and raised the family. Now the mother has to work, the father, and even the kids have to work before they're even out of school because you need so much money to pay for basic human necessities. And that is killing us. You know, that is killing us, and that is destroying the heart center of the body, which is why we have so much depression. So, and if the heart is the power transmitter of the body, which connects us to the unified field to increase our intelligence and our own ability to insight, genius level, every one of us, which is what my father says, then that's where the first healing has to take place.
Well, I love that, and I'm reminded of what the cardiologist in quantum communication said, too, that that disease can be manifested anywhere in the body. It can be the heart, but it could also be the liver. It could be the kidney.
Right.
That this mind-body connection goes on all the time, but it may not affect each person the same way. And another way to look at healing is through quantum communication. Well, good place to stop for the moment. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll get everybody else involved. David Sarita's new DVD, Quantum Communication. Get your copy right now. It's really good. And I still want to save a few minutes to talk about the secret of Mona Lisa coming up before the end of the show, another DVD that David Sarita put together, because that pertains to tomorrow night's guest, too, at least in the sacred geometry of it. We'll talk about the Holy Grail having made it to the Americas, pre-Columbia Americas, and who brought it, what it was, where it was, and what we know now for sure on Coast to Coast AM tomorrow night. This is Ian Punnett.